Hello, lovers and friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Romantic With It podcast featuring two undercover hopeless romantics who, as they review different Black romance novels from across the diaspora. It's your girl, Hannah.
And I'm Odelia.
Yay! And on this episode, we sunrise a new Black romance novel. We call it When I Think of You by Maya Ariel. And today we're actually going to review the entire book because Dill and I are fast readers. Okay.
I wouldn't call it that, but
yeah. And we read it all in one go. Easy peasy lemon and squeezy. As you're tuning in, you guys, by the way, happy Valentine's Day and happy Black History Month. Hello.
Yes.
In North America. I know in the UK, y'all do yours in December.
October.
In other parts, October. And I think other parts of the world, y'all
don't.
Okay.
Because you Black and live in Black country, so you Blackity Black all year round.
Okay. Anyway, happy Black History Month to all the Negroes out there, including the Negroes allies. Thank you. Hey, ally. Anyway, so yeah, we're going to read the entire book today, but also head on over to your favorite streaming platform and review or listen to the other books we've read in the past. This year, we started off with Love is Americana by Jane Igaru. Then we went all the way down to...
We went to Arizona with You Should Have Just Let Me Go by Bailey Thomas. Then we went to... then we went to Nigeria through our Afro-Congolese sister with How to Get Out of the Friend Zone. And now we're back.
Girl, we already read those books.
We read three books in January.
Okay, we need to speed up. Yeah. but yeah, so that's what we've read so far. We loved them a lot. And as always, in this love, it feels like it's been a while. Sorry, girl. And as always, this love shack of ours that we call our liquor podcast, we embrace all different types of love tropes, and we know for a fact we reviewed something just for you. All right, let's get into this one.
Welcome back. As my critiquing co-host stated, we are reading When I Think of You by Maya Ariel. As she stated, we are reviewing the whole book in its whole entirety. So you will not hear chapter one, chapter this. We don't remember, okay?
You hear sputterings of different things.
It's going to be quick and easy. And maybe this is what some of you guys want. You want us to just find out if we like the book or not. So basically we meet our main character. Her name is Kalia Wilson. Actually, this book, the two of the books we're reviewing this month, I audiobooked them. So this is my second one. This one was done by DeWanda Wise, who most of you may know from many things. She was in The Harder They Fall. She was in Underground as a guest character. She was in that Spike Lee remake of that one. She's Gotta Have It.
I love her. By the way, she should be in a lot more roles. Yeah. I loved her in did you say The Harder They Fall?
Yeah.
I feel like she should have gotten a bigger role after that because she was fantastic.
No, she was in it for so short. I swear she died in the beginning.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said that she did a fantastic job. Do you see her? Rufus Buck had a gun in front of her. She's like, baby, do you remember that?
I gotta rewatch that movie despite the lead, but I really want to rewatch it. But she's been in a ton of things. She's kind of like Nicole Beharie, where they're great actors and they just don't get the roles or the big chances that they should be getting.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Oh, she was also in that show with Let's Do Some Research Mamas.
Oh, what's the show called?
I don't know, but I just see them in Dancing to Lizzo. You could have been a bad man. Not the middle.
I think she was also in an action movie. Yeah, she's been in a lot of things. I always see her, and I'm just like, and it's always such a wonderful surprise to see her on the
television. Great actress. So, but she does the voiceover for this, so that was interesting. I still like the name. I'm going to stand. I think when we're doing this, we need two character, like two voice people. Sorry. But anyway, so we meet Kalia Wilson, and she is a up-and-coming producer for the film, for films. She went to film school in New York, and she's kind of is stuck in a secretary role, not doing what she wants to do, which is produce films. And as she's stuck in her role at this production company, her ex, Danny Prescott, comes through the door. He, on the other hand, is like Oscar nominated. He's following his dad's footsteps. His dad was an Oscar nominated, Oscar winning director, and he's about to be down that same path. He sees her working there. He's like, what the heck? Like, we are, you know, going through, like, we started things together, and you, like, how are you here? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But he's surprised to see her, but he's also, you know, it's kind of nice to see her. On the other hand, Kalia is just like, well, well, well. Would you look who it is?
No, because I get my her
6 years ago.
You, and she says something. She's like, this is not where I wanted him to see me. Like, I want to see me flourish. And I feel that, like, after you and a man are done, you want the next time you see, he sees you to be like, like,
you top of the world. Yeah. It's true. It's true. Especially after such, after 6 years. Yeah, you must, like, come on now. You know, anywho, so he's in the office for a reason, because her, the company that she's working with, they want to turn his parents' love story into a film, and he wants to direct it, produce it. He wants to do the whole nine yards. He's trying, he's going for the Oscar for one of those, like, indie films. I do want to say that Danny, his name, he's a biracial black man
with a white daddy,
with a white daddy and a black mama. It's basically loving versus loving.
Loving versus Virginia, first of all. Second of all, I have questions. Maybe I missed it. What year are we supposed to be? Is this not in the modern era?
This is 2021, 22.
So then that would make them like 30-ish?
Yeah, about 30-something.
Which would mean they were born in the 90s?
Yes.
But his parents were facing mass... Was it where they lived? Was that the issue?
Yeah, I think where they're living was still segregated. And to be honest, you guys, most of the world that we live in right now is a little segregated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because
there are some parts, because they grew up, so the father and mom were down in the South. I don't remember where in the South, but they were somewhere there. And he is so inspired by their love story and just like, I want to turn this into a film. And it sparked in his mind when his dad was giving his Oscar speech, where he said that he was, you know, when they just say, thank you guys so much for the Oscar. I want to thank the Academy. I want to thank God. One day I'm going to be up there thinking, I want to thank the Academy. I want to thank God. For what? I don't know. Why not?
I'd be thinking that too. I always think I'm about to produce the maddest movie, and they're gonna be, I'm gonna be like, yo, shout out Brampton, yo. Like,
everyone's gonna be like, Brampton?
Victoria, yeah, I made it.
Victoria from Brampton? Like, you're gonna cause some fiasco. Because you can just imagine the Americans coming for you on Twitter.
Now, why would you remind people that Tory Lanez is from here?
No, I won't remind them. They will remind themselves. Let me tell you, what did someone say the other day? Some girl was talking about me and my dad are going on a date. It's his African dad with the girl. And someone quote Twitter and said, welcome to Twitter, where someone's going to take this.
Yeah.
Someone's going to come here and make an unhappy picture. A happy picture, unhappy. Which is true. Y'all are miserable.
They're about to tell her, like, that she's like, and they told her, like, how do you dress like that in front of your dad? Like, people who, who don't have, come from loving homes are about to tell you.
That's exactly what they said. People who don't come from loving homes. That's the key, guys. You don't come from a loving home. You are projecting. That's where in her comments talking about how you dress up like that.
Meanwhile, her sure daddy, I saw the loves other day. Her daddy's what? Friends are sending pictures or forwarding me like, oh, so cute. Oh, so proud. Oh.
Zach, and he's proud.
And she very even proud. Was he's like, dad, you don't know how they're cooking me online. He's like, for what?
Nothing. So. And that's a man who will accept his children for who they are. The rest of the
world is a real parent.
Notes. Like a real parent, a person who respects a human being. Anywho, so his dad made a speech at the Oscars talking about, like, this is what love made. And so he's like, that sparked in his head, like, I have to write this story about my father. But before he died, unfortunately, which is a huge part of the story. Sorry, I just got upset.
I'm going to say something right now. If I was her, maybe because I've recently gone through something and I'm jaded, this would not have been enough excuse for me.
Thank you, girl. Well, sorry. When I get to the flashback and the conflict, because even I was just like,
I think
even the conflict towards the end, I said, why are we doing this?
And I have a new thing. I think all of you who put me through the discomfort of having them break up and then spend not even weeks, not even months, years apart, despite us healing, I'm going to hold all those authors together and I'm going to lecture you on why you shouldn't do that. I'm sick of it.
I think, oh my God, I'm going to say something so bad. I think when they do that, I lose attention and it cheapens the story.
I agree. I felt like, what do you call it, like a third act? Like, I didn't think this book needed one. Yeah,
it was perfect the way they reconciled.
Yeah.
And then the conflict with the making the film, I get it.
Yeah.
But then her, like her blame, her it misfire. You know what I mean? It didn't connect, and so I lost it. It made me hate you.
I think the writer is an amazing writer. I enjoyed her writing completely. I just didn't feel connected to neither Kalia or Danny. I felt less connected to Danny than I did Kalia. No, I felt less connected to Kalia than I did Danny.
Okay, I was just about to say, wait a minute.
Yeah, I actually really liked her friend, the one that she works with, the white girl who got the job through Bella? Nepotism. Yeah, I love Bella. Bella's so fun.
I like Bella. And
Neha,
her other friend. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into it. Sorry, guys. So yeah, so she spots him. He's there for, you know, the film stuff. And eventually he's, you know, he calls up to her and just like, listen, I'm working on this film, and I kind of want you to be part of it, because they did a school party together when they were both in school in NYC, in New York. What is the school
called? NYU anyway, Film School.
Was it NYU Film School?
I have to assume it's NYU, because NYU is like the big film school or art school, right?
Yes, I don't know, but yes, sure.
And that's where, like, Timothy Chalamet went. All the
really?
Yeah, I heard, didn't he, like, give, like, half the campus, like, chlamydia? That's, like, the ongoing rumor. Yes! I don't know if you've never heard this. He was just out here.
That's a huge allegation, y'all.
I don't think it's an allegation. Several girls.
You know things that when you give someone chlamydia, you actually, like, legally you're supposed to call them all
I don't
up.
Think he knew. It well, sounded like he was just going at it.
One of us knows. We have to keep calling people. I'm like, hey, is this Timothy? Yeah, Timothy. I have the clap.
I don't think chlamydia is the clap.
I don't know. What is it?
I don't know, girl. I don't know.
But, oh, my God. The clap syphilis. Sorry.
Yeah.
I hate that. The clap. You know, actually, I was reading Judy Bloom's book forever to get me ready for Netflix whenever it's going to come up. And I was listening to it. I haven't done an audiobook in a while. So I was like, oh, my God. Strange. Why are you calling it that? And he's just like, yeah, I don't have the clap. I was like, what the fuck? You know, so where are we? This is written in 1980. Like, you're like, I have to keep reminding myself.
Do you remind me of, you know, Peaky Blinders, when he tries to use what was her name, Rose or whatever, to lure that rich betting man, and like his conscience kicks in right when he thinks she's about to be sexually assaulted, and she's like, don't, she's got the clap. And that's the only thing that stops that madman from touching her. It's genuinely insane. But
it's madness. But you know, honestly, having the clap in Birmingham the way it was, yeah, even I would be afraid. Because do you remember how dirty that place was?
Yes.
The way these people were living, you guys, you have to watch the Peaky Blinders. Every time they had the intro and they'll just walk up that dark alley and you look to the side and you're like, this is beyond poverty. What was that?
You know, it was white people in poverty, or maybe that's why they run from it so much, because it's not a good mix. They do not, they cannot survive in it. They don't look like they're surviving, but not that many people do, but they look extra dusty and crusty.
Yeah. But anywho, these two worked on his final project for school, and they worked so well together.
And
that's
dating.
That's how they fell in love and stuff. When his father died, He, of course, distanced himself a little bit because he was grieving. And it was really important because when he found out his father died, he was actually with her. And I think there was also like some sort of lingering, I don't know, like he just feels like he missed out on, being there for his dad. So just a lot of emotions. So the reason why he wants her to be part of this film is because he feels like she has the talents and the wits for it. And at first she was skeptical, but, you know, after a bit of convincing, he's just like, yeah, like, I really want you part of it. She's like, hey, cool. I'm down. My girl does something I would not do. Quit my job immediately.
Yeah, but if a man promised me, like, he's like, no, I will do anything to get you on this set. Like, if he's convinced, not like a man, I mean, like, because they're not together. Yeah, you mean,
a man promised me. Crazy.
But what I mean is, like, if this person's like, no, like, I have to have you, like, I don't care what it is, what we do, like, you're going to be there. I'd be like, okay, job secure. Like, let me send in my direct deposit sheet.
Until I see a contract and a dotted line for me to sign, we staying here. And by the way, the person that she works with, Kalia, he's evil. That Gary guy, her boss.
Yes. Oh my god. Everybody in this film industry is just wretched. Just wretched. Like, I understand why so many of you are the way that you are. Like, I didn't really enjoy that about this book, like the ins and outs of the. I love when you guys give the characters interesting jobs. Like, they're so interesting. Like, I know we haven't read, like, in the new Neighbor Favor, I love that they were in publishing. And, like, I love that. I can't wait to talk about that book. But,
But yes, so she says, she sends Gary a hot email. She's like, yeah, fuck you and fuck your mother too. I'm done. Well, I'm going to work. I'm gonna work on Danny's project.
She never said those things.
She did say that she's gonna work on Danny's project.
Yes,
the one that is gonna make millions of dollars and be Oscar nominated. Anywho, so she's so excited. She tells her best friend. Her best friend Neha. They live to Neha.
Neha.
My best friend Neha. They live together.
Yes.
They live together, and she is a medical doctor. So she works. Oh, she's a residency. She's a resident of some sort. But she's working hard.
Yeah.
Constantly, and she's dating this man called Sam.
And they live in LA now. They don't live in New York.
And they're like, yeah, let's go. You know, let's celebrate, girl. It's great news. Now this is where the issue comes in. Because the day she walks in saying, yeah, this is my last day. Let me sit at this desk and type this last email. Gary's just like, girl, what is this? She's like, oh. And then she finds out that the role of producer has actually been taken by who ends up being like one of her closest friends, Bella, because of nepotism. Mm-hmm. Right. Now she's like, well, this man came back into my life. He told me that he really wants my talent on this project, but then he gives my role to somebody else. And I'm just finding out right now. And I just quit my job with this horrible man that I actually need to work for because I need to pay the rent. He's like, nah, not today. Danny, of course, had no idea what's happening. Cause now I think like the in stuff of like film and getting stuff out of the way is that it's not just you working on the project. The moment we start selling rights or like signing contracts, like, the company owns bits and pieces of it. At this point, we also know that Danny's dating a very famous girl named Celine. And she is part of the project as well. Is her name Celine?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. And she's part of the project as well. So his hands are kind of tied. Like, the decision makers are coming from the people who have the funding, who have the money for it. And so when he finds out, he's just like, oh, shit, this girl's going to think that I just threw her under the bus and I embarrassed her. So I'm not even following. I don't know what chapter we're in right now. But anyway, at some point, my boy calls her, just like, "Hey, like, I'm outside. can we talk? Is this in the car? Or is he say in the printer's room? Where does he say this?
I can't remember. But I hate how nonchalant he is about a lot of things.
Yeah, he's very nonchalant. But yeah, he calls her just like, I'm outside, can you come out? Like, I just want to talk to you. And she's reluctant at first, but then he explains to her, like, I'm going to sort this out. Don't worry. Like, it was my fault. I had no idea they were, you know, hiring anybody they wanted. I feel like you're the better fit for this role, and we're going to figure it out. She's a little mistrusting of him, but then, you know, He's like, I promise you, I failed you once before, never again. I was like, what?
I wasn't sold. But he did pull through because he got her a job similar to, and then he worked out something as well with her boss, which, yes, like, so she's not fired or quit. She's like on temporary leave. So then she has the option to come back, which was good, I think. But
yeah, that was because like a safety net, because yeah, if what if they decide like, yeah, we don't want you to produce this no more, you can just go back to your job and work for, not work, but a slave for Gary, because that's what her role is essentially is. Because there's no working there at all.
Yeah.
What do you mean I come here and like print stuff for you and I get you coffee? Like, what is this?
She's a secretary.
Girl, what? Listen. Everybody, how about that one time when someone from accounting had rats stuck in her
that love lady's seat? Evil.
Yeah. That's horrible. Why don't you just call the people?
She's the
animal protection people.
This is a gorgeous cover, though. I will say this.
Okay. Besides, I think
so far, this is my favorite cover that we've read.
Yes, I love it. I wonder, actually, let's see who illustrated it. I'm going to find them. Illustrator. Cover art by Ova Moza? Oh, no. Katie Anderson? Wait, maybe it's both of them working together. Anyway. Yeah, so he pulls through for her, and now, you know, they're on the job. They're working together. He sends her the raw manuscript. She's editing everything. And basically, it's really sad because his father met his mom at the cafeteria. It's basically like she's one of like the very few black people there, and everyone's making fun of her. They're calling her the N-word, you know, all kind of stuff. Slur here, slur that.
Crazy.
White boy thing.
What do you mean slur here, slur that? That's crazy, bro.
No, it is crazy. And then this white boy is just like, hey, can I sit with you? And especially skeptical. And then they get, you know, they end up being besties, but then they end up being lovers, and people don't like that. People don't like to mix colors, you know?
I just want to be clear. If you definitely marry and date whomever you want to marry and date.
I don't know why I said people like to mix colors.
I do think my only thing is, if you're going to be interracial in your dating choices, simply leave the rest of us out of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's my only request. I don't want to know. I don't want to. I don't like, especially some of you who are, because let me tell you, I know a lot of black men get a lot of flack for the way they date white people. I think considering we've just, because it was not too long ago, some of you were sitting on the internet, and you still do it, talking about my white boyfriend washing my hair, my white boyfriend eating jollof rice for the first time, that. My white boyfriend, leave me out of it. I don't want to know the ins and outs of your interracial life. Leave me out of it.
Take me off that close friends. I don't
exactly
care.
I can't believe we went through the whole 2010s with so many interracial couples making content, and so many of you tuned in. That is what upsets me more, is so many of you tuned in.
Yeah, honestly, it's like race play, and that's what it is.
It feels like race play light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it is, because why am I on YouTube and all of a sudden I'm watching my white boyfriend wash my 4C hair? And it's not even like the interracial, it's also like y'all who marry Italian men straight from Sicily and say, watch my Italian boyfriend trying to pronounce onomatopoeia.
And then you'll be on there like,
when I cut the spaghetti. Like,
they'll be on there like, amore, don't break the spaghetti.
Don't break the spaghetti, please. Mia cara. And I just like.
It's definitely like, it's kind of like, maybe it's the American or Western, like, perception of other that I hate so much.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what it is, because you're right. Because the white girl, the American white girl's like, look at my Italian boyfriend. He do this.
Yeah.
And I don't want to leave me out of it. And I see recently there's this lady who's getting a little more slack. She's Asian. Her man is Nigerian.
Oh, I saw this one. I've actually seen her videos a couple of times.
Yeah, she... I saw one. I said, that's enough. So then I'm not shocked she's getting the flack that she is, but she'd be like, it's so hard taking care of my kids' African coarse hair. Mind you, her kids have like 1A hair.
Like, meaning that they don't have to use the edge control that I have to use to get my edges down. They can just use freaking, water. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, Eco Style Gel. I can't just use Eco Style Gel. I have to put armor on top. So, I hate that. But, you know, I think for me, I hate that in particular because it has to do with a child. And I just don't like it when you guys parade children like that online. And I'm just going to say something really controversial, but I really think Black men, when you date outside your race, you have to be very, very careful, really careful, because that is your Black child. And you know I hope that you know your culture well enough to know that what your white or other partner is doing is low-key racist. And that child, especially a daughter, is going to grow up hating themselves because of how their mom treats them. I don't care.
I think it's also a thing of like, because there is already that stereotype about like, you can tell when someone has a Black mom or not. and I think across cultures, notwithstanding of interracial dating, women are the bearers of culture. Mm-hmm. You know, they cook, they teach languages, they maintain, they take care, they
preserve, afford. Yeah.
So, you know, even the little things like what happens when mom's no longer there and you have to celebrate Christmas, you know? So there's this idea that if this person, and I say this person goes off and dates someone who's not of the race, oftentimes when you do see that the child is like well, like adjusted, it's because the white woman's taken a lot of effort to make sure that that child, she recognizes that she has to, her children are Black. And normally when you see that they're not well adjusted, that effort's not been put in place because the mother has not put it in place because the dad was never going to try to put it in place either way. So
yes,
whether it be a stereotype or not, that's up to the biracials to dissect. That's not my Black ass business. I have 2 Black parents, but
no, that's 2 Black grandparents. Sorry.
4, 8 grandparents, Black parents.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So I don't have, that's not my business, but like there is something to be said about, and I guess like on the other side, because we're talking about you being like, oh, there's stop sensationalizing your Blackness to your white partners or non-Black partners in a way that like your kids feel like your kids' hair should not have this much discussion in general, let alone the internet. Like, Be a Zendaya. Have your kids be like Zendaya. I've never not thought of her as Black.
Every single day I say, that's my sister right there, y'all.
Like, literally, kids. That's my cousin. But exactly. Do you know who I think is not Black? A lot of them, to be honest. Who else? Doja Cat. Sorry.
What?
I said Doja Cat.
Doja.
Like, Doja Cat scares me sometimes. Love her music. But she's in racial chat showing feet.
Yeah, because sometimes she says and does things like,
Who else? There's like, you guys know.
You know who's
so many,
you know,
biracials who like.
Are. There's so many of them who just, you can tell.
You can tell.
It's not your fault. But,
it kind of is your fault, because I also think at a certain age, really and truly, just like how people are like,
you're young, it's not your fault, but when you, as you get older, it's time, learn like the rest of us, sorry.
Yeah, like, I don't hear it anymore from people who are like, I was the only Black person in my neighborhood, and that's why I call other Black people finger-licking chicken eaters. Like, what?
Where'd you get that one from? That's funny. I'd have to laugh in your face.
I'd be like, what?
You reminds me of when, you know, you're doing those cafe latte poetry last Black History Month. Actually, you know, to commemorate
Obama
that.
Is a mulatto.
Like, that girl was at least 20-something. I said, please leave us alone.
Do you know, that's another example. Obama's a bad biracial. Mm-hmm. Obama is a bad biracial. I don't care what y'all say about that domestic terrorist. He is a bad biracial. Okay, Obama is Black by force. Okay, I don't. Anyways,
look at Columbus. Look at some. He's not radical enough for me.
He was never radical. He was radical in search of Kuchina.
He was radical. I feel like at some point in the beginning he was radical when he was learning, but I think it disappears. It just goes away because when power and money, like even before he became the senator, like just right before. I'm pretty sure he just switched it up because he knew what he had to do for Uncle Sam.
I don't think so. I think a lot of people... Sorry, guys. I know we're talking about this book. But, like, right. Let's take a second. I think a lot of Black people, as I've seen, considering the current social political climate, a lot of you are not radical. So I don't believe Obama was radical. He was writing in the book that he was reading Marx so that he could get with bisexual communist women.
What?
He wasn't reading those books out of like general curiosity.
You are so news to me.
Yeah, he was.
Because I always think about it, like even in my own learning, my own teaching, I didn't come out of my mom's womb saying, you know, free Palestine. I never said that.
No.
But I think like over time through academia and just speaking to different communities, that's how I become radical.
He was fake. He was fake leftist for coochie.
And for his whole life.
Yeah, and then, but the thing is, right, you have to accept, like, Democrats are not leftists, they're centralists.
No, they're not.
So, and I think most liberals are centralists. That's why a lot of you get up here and, like, no shade, like, the Super Bowl just happened, the performance was cute, you know, we enjoyed the shade of the Drake, but to sit there and for Kendrick to sit there and be like, the revolution is now televised, cheapens the whole thing. You have the American flag running up and down. Like, nothing about it was revolutionary. Nothing about it was impactful.
No.
Had poor Samuel Jackson dressed as Uncle Sam. Like, nothing.
He was doing on the stage is something I already knew about. So it's nothing. Like, to be honest, I was just like, oh, this is a great performance. But I already know all this. Like, I don't think it pushed the needle.
It wouldn't, because one, if you were really pushing the needle, you wouldn't be performing at the Super Bowl. One. Two.
You should have not detained the guy who was waving up the Gaza.
Apparently, he's not getting charged, thank God. Two.
Thank God.
You wouldn't be performing at the Super Bowl. Two, you rappers, all of you, I'm so sick of you saying the revolution will be or won't be televised. You don't know what that means. We lack such a political consciousness as this current generation. Like, it really died in the 80s with the people that the CIA took out. Like, really and truly. Because you don't know what any of those means. And every week, every 3 or 4 episodes, Han, I say the same thing. Because you don't read. And every time I see your performances and your things, I can tell you don't read. I know Kendrick doesn't read, despite him being a Pulitzer winner. I know he doesn't read.
Doesn't, because
if he was, he wouldn't be doing those things.
And also that, and also there are certain rap songs that he has where I feel like
exactly.
You can tell that he doesn't. You can tell that he just reads like the top level. There's no deeper dive, right? You pick a buzzword, you pick something new, and then there you go.
He does what most of you do. You read off of Twitter.
But exactly, he also does that too. But a lot of you guys do that. I don't think there's any rapper who was... Actually, no, I'm pretty sure there's some, I just don't know them. But for these ones that make money, because again, these are all capitalists, you guys. Kendrick Lamar walked up with a chain that had that little A on it. That's millions of dollars. And if we really think about systematic issues that we have in healthcare, with race, with everything, housing... He's just part of the problem, okay? They're all part of the problem.
And also, like, it's really fun to call Drake a pedophile, and it's probably fun? True.
It's true. It's fun. It's true that he is.
It's most likely true. We'll say this as people from the Toronto area. I know some of my fellow Torontonians like to deny it, but what I will say is that, rather, is it's fun to do that, but then you are constantly shouting out Dr. Dre, is an abuser, constantly.
Known abuser. Any rap, you guys, any rapper that came out of the 80s and 90s.
Even the ones today.
Even the ones today. But those are the ones, the 80s and 90s, the ones that would constantly get away with it in big, big ways. Yeah. Dr. Dre would not be walking free. Yeah. I don't know how. had no idea this man was still around. Snoop Dogg, same for you. I don't know how you people are still walking free. You've done some wrong things. Jay-Z, I don't know how you're doing this. You intimidator. You Mr. Billionaire. I don't know how you're walking around free. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You should join your buddy.
The other Sean.
The other one. Exactly. Y'all should be with him.
But yeah, but that's why everything that like Kendrick and whoever does, like, it doesn't feel like I've realized in recent years conscious rap doesn't actually exist. Like,
no.
It just feels like somebody picked up like a grade 6 textbook and was like, hey, do you know like there was a civil rights movement? Like,
it doesn't exist. And then when you start making money, I don't care how many times you guys think that this man is scaring the American population, he's still very safe. And everyone's still playing very, very safe because also, there's money to be made.
Somebody pointed out that probably they didn't even know what he was trying. Like, first of all, Americans, a lot of you are illiterate. And a lot of you don't know what similes and metaphors are. And every day I get on TikTok and your teachers are telling us that your kids are reading below 3 grades below the level they should be reading at. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking Super Bowl, football, Kansas, Donald Trump's in the crowd, MAGA people, not smart, don't know what a tariff is. They're not going to pick out the symbolism of what the heck Kendrick's doing. And that is solely for the black liberal eye. So.
Yeah. All they knew was wop, 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 duck, fuck him up. Like, y'all didn't get anything else.
Not a single thing else.
I appreciate him as an artist. I see how you can put things together, but it's not like in this time, in this age that we're in, something like that. Sorry, it does not satisfy.
It's so 2016. It's so 2016.
Yes, that's what that year. It doesn't work now because look at this.
Like, things are just so much worse that we need way more. Like, we need way more. Way more. Like, do you know, like, people... do you know people died? Like, people like Nina Simone had to flee.
Yeah.
Langston Hughes and them, excuse me, guys, had to flee, had to, like, escape so that they would have some, like, form of peace. You know? Like, do you know people... died on to writing like real radical shit, like real radical shit, and the best you can do is like a dance.
It's again, they're playing it safe. They're not pointing fingers at record companies or the government. It's not, at the end of the day, no matter what Kendrick did at that stage last night, he's still going to go home to his nice house with his kids. He's not going to face any repercussions for anything that he said. He didn't really strike a nerve with anybody. So I know a lot of people are going to, like, and unfortunately, that's just how we are. Like, our society, that's just how we move. Some of us cannot go deeper than where we are right now, but I don't know, you guys. These last 2 years for me personally, I feel like I didn't think I would become even more radical, but I feel like I've kind of pushed it. I didn't expect myself to be more radical than I am now. Like, I just didn't. I thought like I had reached my maximum. But you guys keep showing me, the world keeps showing me that the evil that you're doing, it's so nonsensical that I have to be mad. I have to be a mad person. So even when I speak, it was like, oh,
yeah,
I get it.
And I say all this to say, though, like, that's why personally I didn't think Danny Prescott's movie was so revolutionary. And I
like... So, yeah, his movie, that's what you're asking about, what year we're in, right?
Yes.
His movie, it was cute.
And they make mention of, like, I think in that scene where they're talking, they make mention that we already have Loving as a film. And,
Yeah, it was cute. Another one.
I actually watched Loving. I think Ruth Negga is an amazing actress.
That's why I watched it for. She's so
good.
I'm trying to sing as well.
Oh, I watched Passing too. That's the one with Tessa Thompson, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good too. I wish that one had gotten award.
It got nothing. Silencio. Is it because of the director? It was probably because of the director.
And it was Netflix too. I blame Netflix. I don't know why, but it's definitely their fault. But anyways, back to the books.
Yeah. So Yeah, so he is basically once they're working the project together and things are, you know, going well. He and him and her, like, they have a really good working relationship, but also because, like, he's still in love with her. It's obvious because even in meetings, his girlfriend Celine tries to, like, block her from entering the meetings, block her from sitting center stage with the rest of the producers and developers. And he's always like, and, you know, like, Kalia is here as well. Like, even when he was introducing the story to everybody, because, like, you know, we have people here. Just like, well, where's Kalia? Oh, yeah, here she is. She's going to come here and help us out. At the same time, one of Danny's best friends in the industry, he kind of likes Kalia, too. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, Alex?
Alex? Dan? Oh, Jordan? Oh. No, I forgot it. He kind of likes, you know, Eric?
It might be Eric.
So he kind of liked her. And at some point, he actually does ask her out. He's just like, hey, can we go out? She's a little bit nervous, but she's like, fuck it. Like, me and Danny, like, it's really awkward between us. So whatever. I do want to say that prior to this, now, my girl Bella, she has a podcast that she's working on. I forgot what it's called, but it's something really quirky and punny. And I think
it's giving me call her daddy vibes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. It's that she brings the most interesting people onto the studio, and they drink rosé as they talk about all kinds of rubbish and pop culture. Which, you know, that's the kind of stuff I like. I'll listen from Bella, but when I listen to that, whatever that girl
is. Call her daddy, Alex Earl or whatever. She also is uninteresting to me.
I can remember all these girls' names.
Because I see her all the time, and, like, despite me not wanting to see her, especially when certain, if you don't know, I'm a reality TV junkie. I've definitely lessened my addiction these past few years, but every time, like, something viral happens on a season of reality TV, like, she's always first to have them on. There. Like, Love Island this past season of the US one, Leah was on it.
Watched it.
Yeah.
Because Leah was on it.
She's had, like, a few controversial people on it. I think she even had, like, a couple, like, politicians on there as well. And, yeah. So I always see it, even... I try to stay out of white nonsense, but it finds you sometimes. Sometimes it's funny. But I've never sat down and listened to a full episode of her.
No. Of her I don't day. Find... I'm not gonna lie to you. There's some people who I don't find funny. Like, there's a brand of comedic... style that she has that I don't think is funny at all. But, you know, it's different. You know, there's white humor and there's my humor. So, anywho, so Bella has this podcast that she's doing and she loves it. I think she had a birthday and she invited everyone. They went out to this little club. Aaliyah was there with her friend, and she kept wondering, like, is Danny gonna show up? Why would Danny show up to one of, like, you know, our parties, because, you know, he's a big dog, you know what I mean? My boy shows up and he dances with her very, you know, seductively.
Yeah.
And to the point where she turned around just like, what do you want from me, Danny? And he couldn't answer, so he walked away, which I was like, okay, that's awkward for both of us. But then she does go out with Eric, because Eric asked her out for a date, so she does go out. And Eric asks, like, do you still have feelings for Danny? Which I thought was a straight thing. Like, yeah,
no, like, because, like, you have to in that type of situation, because the way the man talks about you, and I'm his friend, and, like, this could get really messy. Like, let me not intercept what's still brewing, you know? Like, yeah, it's been years, but
you know, still something? She said, I loved him. She's like, you mean you love him? She's like, ooh.
And he's like, I know you love him, so I'm actually going to remove myself from the situation.
Yeah.
And I rate it.
Yeah, I like a man who knows when to stop. Just stop. Leave her alone. She clearly has other things to do. So he does, we don't get to see that scene, but Eric does tell Danny that he went out with her and he thinks that she's still in love with him. And that's when that night he sends her an email saying confession time. And he says, you know, I've loved you. I've always loved you. And I always thought to myself, like, when I first saw you, I was like, oh my God, like, she's still beautiful. And I still have these feelings towards her. And he said, I think he told her, this is when we found out that he broke up or didn't break up. Where did we find out? Yes. Oh, Bella tells her
that they broke up.
Break up. And she's like, you mean this whole time this man's just been...
Like, you made me feel guilty about this.
I know. Anywho, so he's just like, he confesses, just like, I've always loved you. I don't think I can. He says that, have you ever heard your favorite song, like, out of the blue, and then all of a sudden it's now your favorite song again? That's what he described it as. That's from what I remember.
Do you know what I also love? I guess this is where I realize I actually am a Gen Z, because it's the usage of email to write all of this.
Yeah. That's why people confess love these days. I wouldn't mind an email.
No, I wouldn't mind it, but I just don't think our generation, like, we associate emails with work. You know what I mean? But we're also the generation that no longer writes love letters, so, you know.
I used to send my dad emails all the time when he was on his long trips.
Same, I used to send emails as well, but...
Still until this day. They were actually really funny. I had so many spelling mistakes. My father just let me go, yeah?
My dad used to correct mine. He'd send back rewrites of my email.
Right?
Yes.
That's crazy.
That would be
a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, my dad's just like, oh, look at my stupid girl. Yeah, she can't spell business. She can't spell business trip. That's a problem. That's a problem.
That's hilarious.
Anywho, so he confesses and she basically leaves him in red for like 24 hours until the next day she goes to work. And he texts her, just like, come in here, please, into his office. She had no idea he was there. And she just like, the first thing she asks is, were you drunk? He's like, no, but after you took a while to respond to me, I did get a little tipsy, but I meant it. And then he tells her, lock the door.
HR? HR?
And, you know, they get into it, y'all. But not fully. But they get into it.
The only reason they don't is because he's, like, not here. Oh, speaking of, so when they met, she was, like, a virgin. She didn't do nothing. I think they did a little not full all the way thing, and then they broke up. So they've never cohabitated.
Yeah, he's
so he's, like, no, this can't be our first. And I'm, like, good, because you shouldn't be doing it at work either way. Like, this is a place of business. What is it?
You're right. It's a place to do this. I'll keep it at work.
I know a lot of us have the fantasy with the trench coat and.
Now I've done that one though.
But in the office. That's the fantasy. It's in the office.
You mean showing up in office days?
Yeah, but then do I love about this being a fantasy?
And I go to the cafeteria and I say. You?
No. That's the thing. The way this only works is if your man has a corner office or like he's CEO. And I'm going to tell you guys right now.
That's sweet. So the girl saying sexting her CEO. Yeah, like you have to be in that type of relationship. You can't just be an ordinary.
No,
you know,
it can't worker. Be just like Tom from finance.
Not at all.
What are you going to do? In the cubicle? Like, that's crazy.
I think. The last time we read it in work, actually no, Bia Doon did it with Kunle in the very gay Christmas when we read it last
in
year.
In the little room.
The little room they created. But
you see, he's a CEO, so he made a room.
But then, in The Perfect Find.
But you see, it was a closed door.
The print of the
with
empire.
A wardrobe.
Yeah. But they get caught anyway.
Because there's a camera. And they're dumb.
Yeah, there's cameras everywhere. They have cameras even within... I think they all have visuals, but they don't have sound. I know for a fact. That's how they got Beyonce in the elevator, too. I don't think they have sound.
Okay. Hopefully not. If not, it's going to be a whole Montoya situation.
Visually, the sound is not supposed to be there, but visually, I think they can definitely...
That's just as bad. Speaking of... So, I saw another clip of Montoya today and his girl. She was like doing anything in there, like it's actually crazy. Like I stopped watching Temptation Island after the first season, the American one, because I was like, this concept, first of all, we have too many island shows.
Wait, is it they had like this machine that would tell them to stop and start, and when it goes green,
no, that's too hot to handle. you see, there's too many island shows, so I had to stop. And then also, I was like, this is crazy. Why would you bring your partner here to cheat on you? Like, you know?
Wait, some of you guys bring your... Wait.
The concept of the show is that you don't trust your partner, so you're going to split up with them, and they're going to go meet some new people. People are
together from outside. You brought them in.
Montoya's girl is his girl. He brought her there to tempt her. So the goal is for you to not be tempted. So she failed.
So this whole time, I thought...
No.
See, too hot. Using me. I'm sorry. Y'all have the same shows.
So there's too many. There's Love Island. There's Too Hot to Handle. There's Temptation Island. Oh, there's...
Love Island is an OG show. The rest of y'all that came after, we don't know about you. You're new to the party.
Put some clothes on. Let's do something else. You know?
You hear about the one where your parents go.
What?
And then they date other parents.
This sounds like the one I saw on TLC. TLC also would be having a few, and that just pisses me off.
And how about the siblings?
Yeah, that the one was crazy too. That was also TLC. TLC also had moms, and the moms were there to meet younger men, but the plot twist was that not only were there other young men there, the young men were their sons. So then they were dating the other mom's sons.
Ew.
It's so What's gross. What's it
called? Overtime?
Something like that, actually, yes.
The one that got banned was when Be the First Man to Impregnate the Girl.
What?
Yeah.
What did you just say to me?
You think I'm joking, but I'm not. I'm really not. Because I remember this one time I was, you know, like, it's 3 a.m. and you're just like in a researching mode. Like, all of a sudden, Reddit is like your Wikipedia. I went down the rabbit hole of different types. Because I kept saying, like, I kept thinking to myself, there are too many reality shows. Like, how many concepts can you guys possibly come up with? I remember it was right after they announced Ultimatum. And I said, how many shows can you guys do? I'm tired. So I went down a rabbit hole, and there's one called Labor of Love.
I have heard of this, actually. Yeah.
And of course they banned it because this is illegal, but you have the first man to impregnate the girl. It's like Bachelorette, rather. The first man to impregnate the girl keeps the girl and the baby. Yeah.
So how would you know if it was you who's impregnated her?
We don't know. They do the paternity test at the end. Of course, they had to ban that one.
Who even pitched it? Why did it get greenlit?
No, I hope you understand that you the people who live on this planet who don't have the same mindset we have. Like, for us, we're anomalies. But a lot of you guys have very sick concepts. And, yeah, you need to be arrested. Anywho, so they didn't do, like Adila said, when they were dating in uni, they didn't do anything. And so he's just like, let's stop. Like, I want to, you know, make sure that if we ever do something, it's not going to be on this wonky-ass chair in my office. I want it to be proper. So she's willing to wait.
She has to.
yes, she has to wait. She has no choice.
Not willing. She has to.
As they're, you know, they decide to also keep their relationship on the low because Celine is an evil girl. As you, this one here can destroy your career.
I don't remember how Celine finds out about it, but she knows like immediately.
She speculates.
And then she's like, ugh. Like, she opens the door and sees her there, and then she's like, I'm going to make your life a living hell. And so, first things first, I'm going to go on a trip to New York with your man, and we're going to stay in the same room so that you can think of us clapping cheeks. That's basically what she said.
He helped her, and I think what's so evil about what she says is that she asked her to, like, book
the room.
The tickets, the room, the valet. And then they have very weird requests, like, this has to be like this, the temperature has to be like that. Like,
okay, and can I say something else? I think this is why humans, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Because when I hear about all these celebrities and their rider sheets or whatever, like, be normal. What do you mean you have to come to a room and only blue M&Ms have to be present? Does that... Think about it.
It's very sick behavior.
Very.
Very.
I'm sick of it. I don't
know, like, it's a mental disease.
Yeah, that's how you get the Connies of the world. But
yes, that's exactly how you produce them.
Yeah.
Anywho, so she's just like, oh my God, I think they're going to be together and stuff. So she calls him and says, like, I don't know if you know this, but this girl here hates me. Like, I don't know what's going on. He's just like, don't worry about it. We're just going on this business trip. And I already got my own hotel room and stuff. Like, she's just playing games because she's a troll. Fair enough. As he's in New York, he was supposed to stay there for like a week or so, but he ends up being there for like more than that because I think there's some issues happening behind the scenes with how they're going to be filming and getting the movie going. And one day when she's doing yoga with her friend, what does she see on her phone? Paparazzi.
TMZ got and them. I fear TMZ Celine called. I fiercely called the pops, the paps.
She called the paps, I'm sure. I think all celebrities call the paps because how do they know where you are at this exact
time? No, I think like, some don't. Like, I don't think Beyonce calls the paparazzi. I don't think Rihanna calls the paparazzi.
These are not celebrities. These are different tier people. Like, you don't. I can't even like describe them. They're beyond celebrities.
I feel like. Who do I feel doesn't? I feel like Nicki Minaj calls the paparazzi.
Nicki Minaj definitely calls the paparazzi. Every housewife on every single place.
Yes, because who really cares what Kyle Richards is doing?
This one time I said, Kyle Richards.
Like, whenever, you know, every season when they're like, Radar Online. I'm like, yeah, you guys had to make Radar Online so that you could have a specific magazine that caters to housewife news because people doesn't care about you.
They don't. The only time you guys call people only calls you when you are pregnant or getting a divorce.
Or married. And they want married. The exclusive shots.
Exactly. So people, they don't care about it. It's a pattern. I see it everywhere. Yeah. I saw that old housewife, Nima.
What series?
From Potomac, the one who called Wendy a witch. And Kim?
Oh, NECA.
NECA. Oh my God.
Kim? You were close. NECA. Yeah, she's pregnant help, now. Lord.
And, you know, I saw it on People's Magazine and I said, so she called People's.
Yes, because I was like. NECA was not She's even not a even liked a housewife.
Like, no one liked you. What? It's like, so you called people and told them, I have pregnancy.
I have pregnancy. Like, just post your Insta post and go. Like, nobody cares. So it's
that
actually...
and Sonia was the same. I was like...
No, I like Sonia. I never understood the Sonia
you
hate.
Like Sonia, you like Sonia because...
I like Sonia.
I just like Sonia for the reasons I...
And no. I like Sonya's man.
She likes like, but listen, amen.
He was a fine man.
Okay. He was.
He ill.
Is. You know, he has that charm that some black men get when they get older. Like,
mind you, like, you know, old is like, they're only like 40 something, but we're 27, 28.
We're like babies. We're very youthful. We're basically veal. But like, you know, like, he has that vibe. Like, I feel like Leon had it.
Cynthia's yes, husband. It's kind of like an assured, like, someone who's very, like, sure of himself and, like, his manhood. And he don't have to say it or express it. But you
Tabitha
just
Brown's
tell.
Husband, same thing.
Yes. They have Tabitha Brown's husband, yeah. It's just something it's like, do you know who doesn't have it? Juan Dixon.
Juan Dixon
Apollo Nida.
Juan Dixon, like, when they say you only had your youth, yes, sir, you only had your youth.
And I still think Juan is fine. Like, I don't think Juan is ugly. Like, I was like, ooh, Juan, like, ooh. But then he started doing Robin the way he does Robin. I was like, oh my God, like.
Maybe that's what it is as well. Like, your attractiveness is not just.
Yeah, it is. It's, everything it's tied else coming to, you know, when they yeah. say you're ugly on the inside, it comes out, right? So the more information I gather, the uglier he got. He's not an ugly person. I don't think he's ugly, but like, he's an ugly inner person. And yeah. I hope that both of them are happy off of my television screen. Do not bring Robin Dixon back to Potomac.
And I saw her in Traitors. I'm watching Traitors, and I was like, oh man. But anyway, she's out. She got the boot.
That was quick.
Of course, it's not going to last. Actually, they do a lot of Housewives for the U.S. one. Because I'm watching season 2 with Phaedra.
Yeah, I think Brandy was in the first season.
Who? Brandy?
Yeah.
That's going to ruin my meal.
Brandy was in the first season of Traitors U.S.
Was she?
Yeah.
You guys don't know. I fucking hate Brandy.
I hate Brandy. She's like, top.
Like, two. Brandy. I think... most of the housewives who I dislike come from the Beverly Hills franchise. Because Brandy and Teddy and...
Guys, Teddy Mellencamp, top two worst housewives, and she ain't number two. If Teddy Mellencamp has one hater, it's me. If Teddy Mellencamp has no haters, no, me, I'm dead. Wake me up at the dead of night for a Teddy Mellencamp hate parade.
Yeah, those two, but I don't think everyone else, I'm like, okay, cool, like, whatever, you know, you're there, but those two in particular, there's something evil about them.
Teddy was so boring, yet so conniving and so foolish at the same time, and I hate her business. I hate Teddy Mellencamp, and I just, like, she disgusts me, like, she really does. And I know it's so irrational, because you're not supposed to hate, like, housewives, because you don't know these people. But there's definitely a few who Teddy I really dislike. Brandy is second. Like you said, most of them are from The Witch.
Witch scared me. What do you mean? I remember this one time when they went to her house. I said, what is this, y'all? What is this? And she said that she is a crooner. She said that she was some sort of witch. I said, we need to get out of here, man. This is nonsense. Yeah,
just no. And I'm sorry, guys. I don't see it for Candace either. Like, that's scary. I'll never see it for Candace. I'm sorry. I try really hard. I like Candace at first, but I'll never see it for Candace. Candace.
Who is this? From where?
Potomac. Ugh. I'm sorry. I'm Team Monique till this day. Y'all can call me Ghetto with her. I'm out here with her.
It's fine. I love Ghetto. It's my favorite word.
I love Ghetto.
Candace?
I didn't like Kenya for a long time either.
When we watched season 5 reunion for Potomac, I genuinely, I felt like I was getting a rash. My skin was so hot from the nonsense that was coming out of every woman's mouth. I couldn't believe what was happening to my girl Monique.
And
genuinely,
literally, like, and I think this goes back to our earlier conversation about, like, Black liberals, because Candace is the epitome of that. Because to sit there and call your fellow Black sister a ghetto hood rat, like, and what's so funny is when what goes around comes back around, because the minute they got that dark-skinned Black girl off the show, the other light and bright said, who's next?
Yep. I will never, even, let me tell you, I'm not a big fan of Ashley, but for you to call her what you did,
oh, and yeah, sorry, but, like, somebody should have beat Candace a long time ago. The things that Candace says.
Candace was never hit. Monique never touched that girl because, honestly, Monique should have punched her through the wall.
And I'm going to tell you something else.
What she said. I'm sorry.
First rule of fighting is if you can't fight and you don't want to fight, is don't egg somebody on. Don't say, drag me, Monique. Drag me, Monique. Because if you know you're not going to be able to handle it, don't do it. Because she did exactly what you wanted her to do.
Yeah, she said, okay, let's go. Your first warning sign is that she was going to fight you while she was pregnant. Yeah. Look at her. And you see, Monique has, like, an athletic body. Like, look at her. Like, I think she just naturally is, like, a very like, muscular girl. I think she got it naturally. When she wanted to beat you while she was pregnant, she said pregnant at all. Monique only had hot tea her entire pregnancy, so her blood was boiling. So you said something crazy to her, she was about to tear you down. I don't know why Monique left that man. Why did a man leave Monique?
I'm glad, because low-key, like, they were cute. Like, he kind of respected her, but he was also, like...
He was a man.
Like, when they asked her what his favorite thing about her was, and he said it was, like... X-E-S. Y'all spell it back. But, like...
You said that?
Yeah, remember? It was, like, one of the couple's trips. And I was just like, ew. Like, I don't care if he has four houses. Get him out. The best thing he ever did was tell his mama to lay off his woman. But he had his faults.
Yeah. And imagine that was the best... That he's actually one of the better husbands.
Thank God for Eddie. Lord.
Oh, God. We love Eddie. Eddie... By the way, in the reunion, Eddie has the first chair.
I know. Something with Stacy, I think.
Yes. Do you know how crazy that is? Andy has never given a hug to his chair.
TJ
is gay. Oh.
TJ may not be gay, but he don't like Stacy.
He don't like Stacy at all, because what he said to her during her puppy thing, just saying anything
the to many her. Things he said to her.
Apparently he said something before the reunion as we're getting ready that's gonna shock everyone. So hey man, I cannot wait for the reunion. It's next this coming
weekend, yeah, there was right? no episode this because of the Super Bowl. But yeah, yeah, I really enjoyed Potomac this week. They're last thing on Housewife. Really enjoyed it this season.
Oh my god. Odile, we're reading the book.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you guys. Odile and I are like the spider. This is how we behave. Yeah, I'm sorry, mom. We're so still sorry. Here. Hey you guys, we're reading when
shut up. So basically they go on this trip together and she's stressed out because her man is like on this thing. At the same time though, he gets a call, he's like, I gotta go to X southern state that we can't remember and I need somebody to come, you or Bella. And Bella's like, well, not me, I already know you two are, so come through. So he goes through there, she meets him and his mom, she gets to meet his mom, and his mom like thanks her for being the support that she was when they had lost his father, because he was also taking care of her at that time and the grief that she was going through, which constituted to how he was behaving around the time that they broke up. And it kind of gave her an insight. And as we learned, he was like ignoring her, he didn't want to see her. And then what set her off is that she saw him and somebody else
with his
with his ex. But this is what I hate that you girls do. You don't ask questions. Like, he's not really giving you a reason to really doubt him before, like, not too much. Like, yeah, he's been inconsistent, but like no conversation, like, at all. Okay.
No, I have to, if I saw you, I have to cross the street.
Yeah, they'd be like, hey,
I'm gonna catch you in real time and I'm gonna record you. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we have to like
I need to be sure. If I'm gonna burn bridges, let me burn them well. Like, so then she goes to her to the guest house where he's staying, and like they have a conversation, and she's like, I'm glad that you brought me here. And then they, you know, let's get it on, you know.
The shower, you guys, another shower one. I was like, oh my god, y'all like this, huh? Y'all not afraid of concussions. It's only that, but you know, things that for me, I'm just like, I don't feel clean. I have to go back.
That's the thing. Like, what happens? And you know, we're black. I don't want to be ashy.
So I'm just like, I have to go back and clean myself up again. But now the floor is wet, and the towels on the floor, and it's just, it's wet everywhere. It's just wet.
It's
wet.
It's not conducive. It's just not conducive. But
I don't care how strong you are. The moment that soap touches the bathtub or the tiles, we're falling down. Don't pick me up. I would actually scream. Don't pick me up.
You're definitely scraping your knee at the very least. But
and that's my one. Take me to the bed. Take me to the bed.
Anyway, so the next morning they get up and they get this news that they're trying to do a coup up on the studio. They're trying to circumvent the film to not have like a theatrical release, and like first is to change the script. So he's like, okay, we have to come up with a plan. I have to fly here and here to try and get my ally. So when they fly back, then she learns, Bella calls her into the office, and apparently his laptop is like connected to the conference room, and they hear Celine and some other Celine's uncle or Bella's uncle.
They're talking mad shit. They're talking about, I hate these race movies. They always make everything about race. And I was like, I hate his father. His father took an Oscar away from you. Mind you, Nathan Prescott was helping him get his Oscar. Yeah. So, bro, what are you saying? He's like, you know, I just hate all this stuff. And I hope that, Celine, I hope you can join me, you know, trying to get rid of this thing because I don't want it. Celine's just like, listen, man, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to move up in this industry. So you tell me.
I thought they were sleeping together for a second. I was like, oop.
But isn't Jim like a little bit
boring? When has that stopped people? When has that stopped people?
You guys need to have limits.
Somebody like, Odile, probably.
How old,
how old am I? I'm 27?
Yeah.
32.
Yeah, me too.
Unless you're Idris Elba.
Wait, I think I could do 35, but hey.
You have to be like literally like Idris Elba or like any other fine black man.
benchmark Idris Elba.
I'm just saying, it's not going to be somebody's uncle I meet at the Hasty Market. Like,
no. It has to be a South London boy.
So 32. Yeah, it's either for regular people, it's 32. If it's Idris Elba, I'm there. You know, shout out Sabrina.
Sabrina's keeping my man warm at night. Sabrina's a heater for me. But one day, Sabrina.
One day I'm going to come claim what's mine.
I love when we call each other sister wives. And I love it when they know. Sabrina knows that we
always. Yeah, I swear she did something one time where she's like, here for my wives or sister wives. Our husband.
Our husband. I was like, you see, that's what I like, because you can laugh with us because yeah. It's funny. You know who you're married to. You
yeah, but
know.
I think that also comes from like a very, like, she's sure of him. Like, she's sure he's not out here, you know.
Yeah.
If it, because I've seen ones where, like, if the man is a heartthrob, and he's out here doing everything, you can tell when the woman has been made to feel insecure. So, yeah. But if he's not doing anything, you're like, y'all can say anything, because at the end of the day, when I turn on my pillow, he's right there.
And you know what? He referenced her a lot in different yeah. things. And I think right now he was doing, like, I don't know. He does a lot of documentaries about knife crime in the UK, but I also see that him in these, like, there's some UK TikTokers who I follow, and he always, like, goes to the... One thing I like about Idris Elba, he supports young talent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always liked that about him, but I see even more these days. I'm just like, I'm really happy. He's retired, right? We're going to see him again.
He said that?
He's retired. I thought he was retired, Odilia. Genuinely speaking, I thought he was retired. Then I saw his name.
Told me nothing.
I saw him pop up with Children, Blood and Bone. I said, oh, here it goes again. You see?
Well, why yeah. did I really forget he was in that?
Yeah,
I didn't get to talk about that, guys. Children of Blood.
Oh.
The bro, casting, you know, is very February? Funny.
It's mid-February, please.
Let's just wait. When's it coming out? Like 2 years or?
Probably 2 years. That's so long, can change. Bro. They're training a lot right now, so hopefully on accents. Forget the fighting. Focus on the accents first and then go fight.
They better be training with the accents.
I swear to God, if I see you guys do really, like, you know, cool moves like this, and you're talking about, where is
my brothers. It's gonna sound just like that. It's gonna, especially also Amanda, your little video made no sense, but congrats.
Did you watch it all?
I didn't read all that. Good for you, or sorry about that.
You know what's funny? She said in the video, I know some of y'all ain't gonna read all that, so that's why I'm up here in this video.
Yeah, but the video, like, do you know our attention spans are cooked? And everything she was saying, like, that I did listen made zero sense.
What she said is not the reason why we're upset.
No.
You should have said no to the role.
Somebody
I don't
said,
care.
I obviously mm-hmm. still haven't read the book yet, guys, but somebody said, based on her response, it sounds like she didn't actually read the book.
She based it, you know what, because she's talking about how Tomi was saying that, you know, when I saw all that, you know, racism you received when you played Gru in Hunger Games, blah, 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 I always thought about you and blah, 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 and they cried together and everything. I said, what the hell is this? But again, she didn't address why we are outraged. People are upset because I'm pretty sure, so if they wanted to cast a lighter skin Amari, fine, whatever, go ahead. My issue as well is that where is the new talent? We're just cycling the same black people again and again. The whole point was to find new talent.
Do you know who would have been perfect for it? Do you know who would have been perfect for it? And he's not new talent, technically.
No.
I barely remember his name, but he would be that age range, and I'm so sorry. I believe his name was Abraham from Beast of No Nation.
Where is he?
Exactly. Where is he?
Because
he
doesn't
get roles.
And that's the thing. He could have easily taken this role.
I mean, if we because at this rate, we're Abraham not even caring if they have it. The accent's close enough. Abraham Atta, right?
Yeah, him. Because yeah, I remember Idris in that. Oh my god, I remember watching this when I was braiding my hair. It was so devastating.
I love that film. What's his name? Fukunawa, yeah, the director.
All these talent here. I'm seeing a list right now. All this talent here. Where are they? This is where we should have started, right here. Watching all these films. How about The Burial of Kojo? Like, let me just go and find all the films.
All
I
those
watched.
Films, yeah, exactly, from the 2010s, where those kids were kids and are grown now, yeah. Should have been your, like, if you really were not interested in getting new talent, should have been your first option.
100%.
Then it should have been, if you were somewhat willing, then it should have been Nollywood.
Oh, and my then, god, it's crazy.
And then from
And I'm looking at all the young, because there were young kids in it. So I'm looking at all of them. I said, where are these people? Like, this is perfect. Like, at this point, like, I'm sorry, if I was like an artist or like they're turning my book into whatever this thing, I say that my audience is the Nigerian audience.
But that's not her audience.
The African, and that's where we fail. Because I would have said my audience is this audience here, so I don't care what Paramount is trying to tell me. I'm gonna make something for my people. I would have called Blitz, who did the Bear Dojo. I would have called Blitz and be like, "Hey, y'all."
I don't want to speak for Tomi. Does Tomi consider herself Nigerian or like very much so Nigerian American? Because I heard even her studies of African mythology didn't come from studying from the continent; it came from Brazil. And as though I think Brazilian understanding of African mythology is very valid, I do think it also has a added context of their own history. And it doesn't sound like she's borrowing from that context. It's more so of Nigerian context. So, and it doesn't sound like she did research to, like, I don't know. I feel like there's, what I'm trying to say is I think there's already a disconnect from the source material. So it's not shocking mm-hmm. that this is the route nope. that she's taking.
Damn. It just seems like such a cop-out. Just a huge cop-out. I hate that.
I hope it works for them. I really do.
Too, but, you know, you're going to upset the people who, it's their culture, right?
They probably won't go see it, but...
I know we're all Black, but there are certain things that really, really are very sensitive. When you put them, like, you have to be careful because white people are going to watch this. Black Americans are going to watch this. And, like, you're sending a message that's not truly the right one.
Yeah.
And I saw African Americans being like, after they were listening to a lot of Nigerians and other Africans talk about it, they're just like, oh, you guys.
Yeah.
This is no good.
Yeah. Because it'd be the same way, like, if, let's say, I decide to wake up and make a book about New Orleans Creole culture. And I just was running around with every character like, babe, like for no reason, no actually reference like, anything.
Disrespectful. Instead of going to New Orleans, instead of going to speak to, find a screenwriter, someone who's from there, yeah. work alongside them so they get most of the credit for it. Like, I don't mind you guys making stuff about things that you maybe not know in the beginning, but your research is where, whatever happened to research?
I don't know.
Whatever happened to research? Y'all only know how to research pop culture. Even that women do a good job. Blind item. How about you go to school?
Okay. Do you know who else is blind? You taking this exam.
Snoozed. Right? Y'all are failing so bad that I remember when I used to do multiple choice school, they say if you just put all C's, you can get 50%. Y'all are not even getting 50%.
I don't think that was ever... That is mathematically not even possible. That's the problem. And that
I remember doing it once.
But worked. I do remember the thing about C. So sometimes I'd be like, I don't know this. C?
Anywho.
So back to the book, yeah. Anyways. So they're in their dishing out. They're like, I hate black people. So so Bella and Kalia record everything. And... They save it, and she later on when she sees Danny later on she tells Danny about it. But then Celine, before she does that, Celine knows that she was in there. She's like, if you tell anybody, I'll ruin you. And she had a moment where I was proud of Kalia. She was like, I'm not afraid of you. I didn't sleep with your man when you were sleeping with him. I'm not afraid of you, girl. And she, what does she do? She ruins her. She puts out a story that she was the other woman and like ra ta 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 ta.
And I'm sorry, this part made me laugh. I said, you put out a story that I'm the other woman. Let me go and just tell everyone how am I the other woman.
So then she goes on Bella's podcast and is like, actually, I had him first.
Listen, even before she does that, she gets really upset with Danny about this is the awkward stench that I hated.
Okay, yes, this I don't remember. So go ahead.
So when that whole story came out, the full story, and then they had their own little, you know, TMZ. No. They had their own little, what's his name? This guy who always makes his articles about pop culture. He always gets his shit wrong.
Perez Hilton.
Like, he had his... Is Perez Hilton still wrong?
Probably.
So he has this... Some Perez Hilton type of guy, you know, went up there and said, spreading even... adding fuel to the fire. And she was getting really upset listening to the headlines that she actually decided to tell Danny, like, I can't do this anymore. Maybe it's not right for us to be together. And then he's like, what the fuck you saying, girl? Even I was like, what the fuck you saying? She's like, I have to do stuff for myself. Like, you, when you're around, I feel like things just go wrong. And it's just, you know, you promised me certain things and it's not happening. How is he supposed to control the headlines?
Girl. I feel like she has a lot of anxiety. And I never understood where it came from.
Yeah, you're right. And I know, okay, well, she grew up with her grandparents. Her mom left her. Okay. I know that. And she has some unresolved issues. But I feel like her reasoning here was not strong enough for her to leave him. You know?
Yeah.
For them to break up and stop what they're doing. I feel like
they were very irrational.
Yes. They would have had an honest conversation. And he's just like, so I can't make you stay. She's like, no. Like, I feel like we should just, you know, come back another time. But, like, this is just not it. So they do break up. And then at some point, she decides, like, I want to tell everyone my truth. So she goes up to Bella's podcast and then says, like, I was not the other woman. We have a history together. They were broken up before we even, like, got together and stuff. Like, false lies, misguided lies. Then Perez Hilton went ahead and said, oh, my God, you guys, we are so sorry. We never meant to take that black girl down. Anyway, here we are praising her and upholding her. And Celine, you can go to hell because you're stupid and you're rude and you're racist. Anyway, and then Bella and Kalia decide they're going to release that tape that proves that Celine and that guy, Jim, are just, you know, the messing around. When it comes out, it ruins basically their older positions.
Yeah.
And he is able to get, I guess, buy or be given the rights back to his movie, and he can now produce it and write it any way he wants to because he's the sole leader of it. Some time passes by.
There's a year. Still not together,
and I was just like, what the fuck? Was it a year or Dillian?
By the time the film releases, yeah, a year. He's like on...
He's been calling her throughout the whole time. My girl's not picking up. I have never stood in business like that before. If a man comes to me and tells me that he wants me and he did something and I'm you know, I'm going to have an open communication with him, I'm not leaving your ass. We're going to stay here and work this shit out.
I would have never even left. I would have been like, it's fine. Let them take pictures. That's my man, my man, my man.
Like, he's the love of your life. What are you talking about, man? Why am I leaving this man alone?
Like, hello?
Me, what?
The problem is Clea, maybe Clea hasn't seen the dating pool.
Maybe she doesn't know.
She don't know.
There's a lot of men who don't even know what movie is.
There's pee pee poo poo out here, girl. Trust me.
It's disgusting. These men are from the sewers. The one you got is not.
Like, there's devils running around. Do you know that?
Yes.
Real with Lucifer sons.
Because they're sick in the head.
Very sick, and they're very evil, and they're so disrespectful. So, like, for you to leave your man to come and run around with the rest of us who are out here dating, you know, sons of Hades.
Yeah. Someone once tweeted out saying, listen, y'all, if you're in a relationship right now, make it work.
Make it work.
Because I actually think it's better for you to learn something and make it work than you to come out here and see for real.
If it's minute, of course. We're saying, like, minute things.
Oh, yeah. You know. Like, what is this one girl said? Oh, yeah, I had this, this girl texted her ex-boyfriend when she went on a trip or when she was getting married or something along those lines. And someone's just like, my man's getting real sensitive about it.
Like, those are the things. Like, why would you do that?
You fought for that, but you can make it work still. Like, I wouldn't. I still would have stayed.
We can forgive.
I think to myself, what's wrong with you? Like, there's something genuine, like, sick in your head. But we gotta
be talking about closure on your wedding day? Nah, fam. Fam, you're cooked. Are you dumb? What do you mean closure on your wedding day?
I'm like, shit. Like, what was this do now? It's really, the thing for me is, like, it's really paid for. This stuff is expensive.
Fam, they already had the wedding. She was on her way to the honeymoon talking about texting my ex for closure. I would push you out the taxi. Are you dumb?
Goodbye? That man don't know you?
Like, did he reach out to you? No. So you're just what? Confused.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, so.
But Kalia, like, you need to stay in this. Like, you let this man run. But you know what they say? If you have to let love go, and if it loves you, it'll come right back. But what's petty is the man is texting you up and down on your phone. He's trying to come back. Like,
he's trying to call you. He's asking, like, trying to figure out what you're doing. He's asking Bella how you're doing. Like,
I will say, though, I'm glad that, like, they've changed it where she no longer wants to be a producer, per se, but, like, is now trying to aid other Black women in the film industry to get into these positions that they're not able to get into because of race. So I think that's good, because sometimes I think we all have to pivot from our original life plan. And I'm sure she'll still work on movies at some point, especially with her man being Danny Prescott.
I agree. I really liked the, I think she called her project Open Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, make it easier for the next people. I think that's one of the things I wish I could, like, one day accomplish. Do something that can make it easier for other people. Because a lot of people have already made it easier for me, mm-hmm. even just being here. Mm-hmm. So, just kind of keep those doors open for the people who look like us. Love it. So he sends her flowers when she goes on her podcast to talk about the project that Dylan was speaking about. And he sends her tickets to go to his premiere for his movie.
The same theater they went to their first date.
Yeah. At first, she was not going to go, but she ends up going. She doesn't sit in the signed ticket that he got her in the front. She goes at the very back and watches him. And when she's about to, like, sneak away, she left some flowers for him. He finds her. He's just like, oh, my God, you're here. And then they reconcile.
Yeah. And then I think that's it, actually.
It's an epilogue. And then he has a ring on his pinky. And she's like, what the hell is that? He's just like, it's whatever you want it to be.
I don't like face that.
Not everyone's gonna get be my girlfriend, okay? Or be my wife.
No, but he does say he's.
I thought the servers this week the servers are shaking their boots. The number of be my wife, be my girl. They have to draw.
Tired. He says, Kalia, Elise, Wilson, my love for you is far too great for me alone. Will you do me the honor of helping me carry it for the rest of my life? Will you marry me?
Amen. Okay, there are some parts in the book that I really, 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 really liked, and some parts of the book I'm just like, the conflict was just irritating me. But this is one of the first books that I've read where I don't really like the female character that much.
That's like, not true.
Boring. What? Who else am I? Like?
Me.
Dooney.
I think Kalia's not even close to what I like. Dooney had me.
Yeah, you know what, Dooney. Mm-hmm. Even to this day, that girl don't deserve that man. But you know, we move. So she's the second one.
And just make clear, Dooney's like up here, and then there's space. Kalia.
Yeah, Dooney was. And you guys don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about Dooney from
Where We End and Begin.
We read it in season one of the podcast. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amazing book.
Amazing book, but the characters were throwing, like, my neck hurts now. Oh my God. There was so much. Yeah. Especially those last couple chapters. My God. Had me in an emotional strain. Anyway, and that's the end of the book. It was a lovely book. I liked it. Let's go to rating and talk about our next book.
Yes, I don't have the next book next to me, but okay, great. I give this book a 7 out of 10. I enjoyed the writing.
Yeah,
I enjoy the characterization, like their jobs, and like I love the side characters. Like I said, I really enjoyed Bella, and we didn't really talk about Neha, but I think Neha's like your average, really good bestie. She's honest with her, and I definitely felt kindred spirits with Neha because she's rooting for her friend and her ex to get back together, and I very much find myself sometimes rooting for certain. Certain friends.
Don't you start. Don't you do that. Whatever you're implying, don't you do that. Don't.
I'm just saying, if he came correct, like Danny Prescott. I'm not even saying what friend, but.
Well, you see, you're talking about me. That's why you're laughing.
You're my friend? Oh, crazy. But I'm just saying certain friends, I feel kindred spirit with Neha in that way, because certain friends, I feel like if their exes came back, fully formed and fully grown, I could see it work. I don't see that for myself. I think all my exes are evil people, but like, for her.
Mine too. Mine are evil people. Every single one of them.
Not this one.
Yo, like, this girl's pissing me off, but I forgive her.
That's my girl. Thank you. But I didn't even say his name. So, like, I didn't even say the initial or nothing. So that's progress.
I know who you're talking about. So, but
I felt kindred spirit with Neha, and I think she's also like her. Like, I hated her boyfriend. I'm so glad Sam was deleted from the picture very early on. Very awful Ute. But I didn't feel.
Cheating, lying, eating, pumpkin eating.
And he was broke.
Oh, the worst combination. Yeah. Cheating and broke. How idle.
Very. So then. But I didn't feel, like I said, Kalia was very anxious, very insecure for me. There are things that, like, I would have not cared too much about. And to each their very own. To each thine very own. And I didn't particularly find Danny swoon-worthy either. Maybe that's what it is. They're just together, like, maybe that's what it is. They're just perfectly non-swoon-worthy together. But I did enjoy Maya's writing a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Finish yours, sorry.
Yeah. I think... I just noticed the person on the book cover, like, the quotes from Candy Ryan.
Yeah.
But I enjoy her writing a lot. Like, I would definitely read... I think Hannah mentioned before we started No Ordinary Love.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
And I don't know if they have our TBR, but we also have another TBR that's...
It's an endless TBR.
The endless TBR. It just don't stop. Yeah, it's called. Until you know the cover. Look at it. Google it. Look at the cover. You know it.
I think I see it in my head already.
Like, we have some.
Yeah, TBR. This is the one. Yeah, it was in my head already.
Okay, perfect. Well, Maya, we love your writing.
Oh, and I think I wanted to read this one more because I love fake dating. Pop star.
But you know what, girl? Good for us. Now we have both in the book.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to be reading this one. But yeah, this one came out last year. Okay. I mean, when I think of it, came out last year. But yes, yeah, so I'm very excited to read another one of her books. Like, this book wasn't bad at all. I just think I didn't feel kindred spirit with the characters. But oh, this one's not out yet. It's out in April.
I'm ready.
We gotta adjust some things.
It's only 320 pages. We can do that in one go.
Okay, we'll see.
I think this will be shorter, but this one will be great. I'm excited. I love it when authors have books. Like, it's like a little treat.
I feel like authors put out a lot of books lately. Like
you, as they should, because y'all can't read.
I can't read them all. And they're always out at the same time with each other. I'm like, please. Spare my bank account.
I also want to say one thing. I love whoever she chooses to do her illustrations.
Yeah, like I said, beautiful cover.
I appreciate a very good book cover. I know you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover.
We be judging.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm old school. I do. But the person that she hires or commissions to do her illustrations, like, mwah. Thank you. Okay, so my rating is similar to Delia's. I am going to give this a 7.5. I really did like the book. I enjoyed, I would say the first thing that caught my attention, because Delia mentioned too, is the writing. I like how she said, I love the different descriptions of how she describes ordinary things, like
his mega
smile. Like, it just, it has, she's definitely an elevated writer because she doesn't just do, common ways of describing how people talk or how people describe things. She uses something else to make it even like more personal to the reader. So it was very easy to read in that sense. And I just enjoyed it generally. Characters were lovely. I did not feel that much for Kalia. I thought she was, I have the same. I'm like, she's too insecure. She's too, anxiety. There are times where I was like, you know what I mean? Like, girl, shut up. Sorry. Now, I love Daddy. I really did. Daddy's a bit of me. I enjoyed him. Yeah, there was a lot. I enjoyed his character. I thought he was doing some shiesty things when, you know, his father died. But open communication could have solved that easily. But
I don't even blame him. They were so young.
You see, that as well, man. Like, being young.
That's so why I love stupid. Second Chance. I think, like, Second Chance really and truly only works if you guys are super young and then you grow separately and then you come back together. And then you've had time to, like, reflect. I think, like, right. Or, like, there has to have been some substantial growth. I think the only people of the Second Chances we've read where, like, they've not been grown is Kenny Ryan's Before I Let Go. But that man had to go to therapy, you know?
He needed to go to therapy.
Yeah.
He was required by, it was one of the testaments, like, had to go.
Like, that would not have been possible had he not taken those steps. Like, and I think a lot of times, like, people are, like, why people don't believe in Second Chance in real life is because people don't take those steps, you know? They don't, they don't change, you know?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And also, it's never just, like, a thing of... And I think Second Chance is particular. Like, it's like, we fought a lot over stupid things, and we couldn't figure out why we were fighting. Or something tragic happened to us, like, in Before I Let Go, and we couldn't cope with what happened. It's never, like, he cheated on me, and then followed me around the world during my world tour. Begging for me to come home. Then I went to his grandma's party and she started talking about, you know, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. And then I took him back.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, I personally don't think that's where
I
know the Second Chance.
I know where we are. I first say, wait a goddamn minute. But I remember who we are speaking of right now. And you're right. Amen. All night long. So
beautiful song.
Beautiful song. Ooh. Let me tell you,
not worth the name, a beautiful song.
Yeah. Always. Yeah. Enjoyed it. Like, I loved also the behind the scenes of the film. Like the film.
Yes,
like,
yes.
The little bit of the script was in there too. Like, it made me feel, you know, like, oh,
it makes me want to know how much research Maya did or if she's in the film industry, like.
So she's not in the film industry, but there's something she wanted to do and she had to divert her character, her career. I think maybe actually, was it?
She studied film at NYU.
Then she got into writing, publishing. So that's how she went. You know what? This explains her elevated writing.
Yeah.
100%. You can always tell when someone was kind of trained somewhere. And you're like, oh, I see.
Oh, it's so cute. She's recommended some books for us to read and watch. So she said, read Real by Kenny Ryan, watch Love Jones. Read 7 Days in June, watch Love and Basketball. Read Queen Move by Kenny Ryan, watch Brown Sugar. Read Princess Trap by Talia Hibbert, watch Something New. Read The Art of Scandal by Regina Black, watch Beyond the Lights. I love Beyond the Lights.
All these movies.
Oh, this is so cute. Some of these books got to go on our TBR. But, yeah, no. I'm excited now to read No Ordinary Love.
Yeah, it's going to be
so
good. I'm
so excited.
And to be honest, if this is your first novel, your second one is going to be a killer.
Even.
I just know for a fact. Because this is basically an 8. We gave him close to an 8. So this next
novel. I'm not laughing at this book, by the way. I'm laughing. It's Han and I have an inside joke about something. I don't want to say.
Oh, I know what to say. I'll say it nicely. You know, when you write your first book, I don't really expect, like, too much if it's your first novel. Some people get it great in the first time, but just, she already has a strong blueprint here. The foundation is there. She's classically trained.
She's a great writer.
A great writer. So that means she can flip any plot, any character into whatever she wants because she has the toolkit. So I'm going to be picking up her second book because she has the toolkit. Let's talk about our next book.
Mine's on my shelf. I don't want to get up. But it is The Neighbor Favor.
Going to The Neighbor Favor. Now, you guys, we have read the part of plot, but we made an error. We were supposed to read this first. So I bought this one first, and I had
to buy the partner pack. Must you give the lore?
But you know what? It was worth the wait.
It was worth.
And we're going to review this book soon. And by the way, you guys, we're also going to follow it up with Love Lyric as well. We're going to do the whole Green Sister because we love, love, love Christina Forest.
Yes.
And so far, this is my favorite one. I'm so sorry, y'all.
Oh,
so
have you started Love Lyric already?
No. Because this is exactly how I like to be romance. This is exactly like, forget it.
Listen, guys, we love this book. Like, I know it's not time. I'm gonna tell you guys right now, this book for me, no notes, 10 out of 10. Perfect.
Absolutely no notes.
Perfect.
I think I rated it 5 on my
Goodreads. Me too. Straight 5 stars. It was so enjoyable. Like, and that was the first book I listened to audiobook, and I was like in the car, like, like, oh my god, it was like the rush of, we'll get to it, like, I just love it.
Until it was a hot, it was a slow burn, like that shit was just getting me
it
on.
Was everything, like the premise of the book is like, oh my god, like I just loved every aspect of it. Christina Forrest,
this is, and you know what, this is her first book, this is her ever? First book series, this is the first book of the series.
No, oh, but she's written other things. She used to write teen YA, so we might have to check those out.
Yeah. We will, but this is like this is the most prominent series.
Yeah,
and this is her first, which is, it's really hard. It's really hard to put something this good into the first one, but she put her heart and soul into it, and that's why, I cannot wait to put all my books, the Christina Forrest books, in order. I don't have partner pop; it's still my thing, but I can't wait to put them in order to face me, and oh my god, I love it when I have a book that I can just pull out of the shelf and just like flip through like the different scenes that I loved. This book has so many of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's our next book, and I'm so excited.
Okay, so sorry for rambling for 2 hours. Forgive us, a lot happened. But if you enjoyed this, tell us what you think about the book. You can do that on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, or the YouTube comments, all at romanticallylit. At romanticallylit. You can also like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Hi, if you somehow made it this far. We're sorry for the rambles. And you can also just send us a question or comments also on our email at romanticallylit@gmail.com. And we shall be back next week with more. Bye.
Thank you, guys. Bye.